calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is putting the stars. London calling. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host. With me today will be David Holly. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham in the Capital One Cup against Stoke City at Craven Cottage Tuesday night. We'll also have another edition of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. But before we do anything, I have to say hello to my co-host, David. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, Russ. It's a late night for me, so going to look to whiz through this as quickly as we can, but still leaving no stone unturned.
That's right. That's right. We're going to do this quickly. We're going to have a quick show for you, but we're going to do a preview of this match tomorrow night. We're also going to talk about a few people that you might know real quickly in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. Let's get right in there, David, and let's talk about your thoughts on Steve Sidwell returning to Craven Cottage Tuesday night. I don't think this is very controversial, but I just wanted to throw it in there. What are your thoughts about Sidders returning to the Cottage?
Now, I imagine he'll get a very warm welcome. I don't think anyone had anything bad to say about him, really. Even people who weren't his biggest fans, they appreciated the wholehearted nature of his game, that he was a 100% player and he always tried his best. And, you know, I think that perhaps it just didn't quite work out for him at Fulham. First he came to us and he wasn't first choice. When he did get into the team, I don't know, maybe his partnership with Parker towards the end didn't really work. Perhaps it just didn't bring out the best of each other. So, but I don't think anyone's got anything bad to say about him, because, as I say, he was a wholehearted player, and that's what you like to see, people who get stuck in there and show that they care. And so I don't think, you know, he'll get anything but very warm applause tomorrow, unless he sort of breaks someone's leg, of course, obviously.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, but I think Steve will get a very warm reception, and he should. Again, he was a solid player for Fulham Football Club. Like you said, he was a player that gave you 100%. I love players like that, so I'm happy that he's returning, and I think the Fulham fans will receive him very well, and I look forward to hearing that reception for him tomorrow night. Okay, on the flip side, we have someone else returning as well. David, what are your thoughts on Mark Hughes returning to Craven Cottage Tuesday night?
Well, this is more of a topic for the controversy roundtable, I guess.
Yep.
If you asked me the question when he'd first left, I'd imagine that, you know, everyone's going to give him a hard time. But I think as time has passed, more and more people have started to realise that perhaps there was something to what he said about the club lacking ambition. Because, after all, the club has been in decline for several seasons, and that started maybe when Roy left, maybe when Mark Hughes left. Obviously, we had an ageing squad that did very, very well, playing together regularly, but nothing lasts forever, and changes needed to be made. We don't know what really happened there at that point, but it was quite obvious from in hindsight now that Fayad was looking to sell the club at some point, and I guess he didn't want to spend. Obviously, Mark Hughes had a different plan of attack and wanted the club to back him for transfers. Now, we don't know what these transfers would have been like. There was rumours he wanted to sign Sean Wright Phillips on a big wage. Would have been a disaster. But if we judge him on his big transfer that he did make, Moussa
yep.
Dembele, the original
Very
Moussa
well.
Dembele,
yep.
at $5 million, a steal really at $5 million, then you would say that Mark Hughes' judgment and scouting was very, very good to source players like that. You know, young, upcoming player for a relatively small fee for the Premier League, someone who we actually sold at a big profit as well. And obviously, I'd like to think that Mark Hughes wanted to do more of that and could have done more of that. And then that would have perhaps halted our decline. We never know, obviously, what happened, as I say. But so I think to give Mark Hughes a hard time, per se, is a bit unfair, a bit uncharitable, really, because we don't really know what went on, but I think, personally, there was something to what he said about the club lacking ambition, because that has been borne out by our decline and our relegation, and unfortunately, the fact that we haven't really turned the corner yet.
Yeah, listen, it's so funny to think about it now, because back then, as I mentioned to you, David, I was very angry at Mark Hughes. I thought it came at a crucial point. I know it was, I want to say June, but still, you know, it's a time when the season's over and he decides to walk away. And we're not in the room. We don't know what was said, but obviously he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. And And he moved on, and the club moved on. And it's funny because, you know, I've talked to several people about this, and I look at it differently than I did back then, honestly, because, again, you know, he is now with Stoke. He was with QPR. You know, again, it didn't work out there, and that's fine. That's good for us that it didn't work out there, but he is now with Stoke. And, you know, with Fulham, you know, he walked away at a time where it was an old, very, you know, I wouldn't say an old team, but an aging team. And, you know, the changes need to be made. And, you know, maybe he was not told what he wanted to hear, and he moved on. And I just want to look at that last year, one year that he was with us, David. And it started off kind of rough because of the injury to Bobby Zamora, but once Zamora came back, everything fell into place. And it was a pretty good season for Fulham Football Club, and I think that's the way I want to remember it. You know, if I was there, I don't think I would boo him, but we'll see how the Fulham supporters, you know, respond to Mark Hughes. Maybe they feel differently now after time, but again, we're going to have to see. But before we move on from this, I'm just going to share some comments real quickly from the Fulham supporters. Our friend in Spain, Roger Lewis, he said he's an average manager of an average Premiership team. His only ambition is to keep Stoke from relegation with a little help from the vast amounts of money in the Premiership. No ordinary team is going to break the stranglehold the big boys have, so ambition is rather limited. Very interesting take from Roger. Our friend Marty Ward is the best manager we had after Roy. Just look who we had after and see the results. Very good point by Marty Ward. He also chimed in and said, just a shame he left the way he did. And I agree with that. And then Ian Walworth said, not fussed. Time to move on. And maybe Ian's right. Maybe we shouldn't even be talking about it. Let's move on. He comes back, and then that'll be the end of it. But I just thought it would be interesting to talk about real quick, you know, as he is coming back, David. What are your thoughts about those comments real quick?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it from where we were at Christmas and when we got Bobby Zamora back in the new year, you know, we were in the bottom three. We had our second best ever season in the Premier League, and we actually just about qualified for Europe as well through the Fair Play League.
Yep.
So, despite Zoltan Gira's red card on the last day, but obviously we were still in the main playing the same kind of football that Roy had instilled in us. You know, the genuine football, wasn't it? You know, not the hard man football. You know, the passing game and everything that Roy had put into us that meant that we were consistently near the top of the Fair Play League season after season. You know, I don't think we had a sending off for a long, long time until that red card for you know, for Zoltan Gira. And people like Aaron Hughes rarely got a yellow card all season because that was the type of players that we had and the type of play that we did. So I think Hughes did a fantastic job, really, taking over and, you know, suffering that injury and then where we finished. And so it was a big shame because, you know, with a couple of more signings, had he been able to sign people of the calibre of Dembele, we may have really had an exciting season. But, I mean, what Roger and everyone was saying is true, that it's going to always be difficult to break the stranglehold of the big teams. There's always going to be a division within a division, I think, and you know, to finish seventh and finish eighth is probably about the most in realism that you can expect for a team that, you know, haven't got the ridiculous funding that some of the clubs have. Saying that, this season so far, it started very nicely. We've seen, you know, West Ham, a smaller club, right up there, Leicester right up there. Whether they stay there, obviously, for long, we don't know, but if someone could break the stranglehold of the big clubs, you know, without having the financial backing they have, that would be wonderful. But
absolutely,
I think unfortunately, in the end, the money always comes out. So, but no, I would be pleased to see Hughes back. I would give him a warm welcome. I don't think there's any point in being bitter or holding any grudges about it.
Yeah, and David, I'm there with you. I mean, again, at the time, and I want to say a year later, I was still feeling the same way. You know, I still have that lack of ambition in the back of my brain that really upset me. But now looking back at it, again, looking at what happened to Fulham after that, you know, it's not that that I'm still not going to be angry. You know, again, that pain's different now. I've moved on, and I can now look at that season a little bit differently. I can now appreciate that season again. I guess I feel like we were cheated from a continuation. But he moved on, and the club moved on. It's just what happened. The roster needed a changeover regardless. I think that was the big issue there, that it was an aging squad. If he had the opportunity to bring in the players that he wanted, who knows? But, again, these are all what-ifs, like you mentioned, David. So we'll never know. But I hope, I hope people understand him, and some think of it like I do. You know, again, if you want to hold a grudge, you can hold a grudge because, again, that lack of ambition, I get it. You know, if you want to be angry at him, be angry at him. But I now feel a little bit differently about it. But I respect the people that feel that way. I just feel a little bit differently now. All right. So I guess I shouldn't try to convince anyone to feel any differently. I just, you know, I'm being a little wishy-washy here, David. But, I just feel the way I feel. And, again, if you want to feel the way you want about Marquise, that's fine, too. But let's move on. Let's get into our preview, my friend. Let's get into previewing this match. We're not going to spend too much time, but I want to give a decent little preview here. So let's start with Stoke City. They're currently 18th and are coming off of a 2-2 draw to Leicester City. And they're up by two goals, so they did give up those two goals and ended up with that draw. They do not have a victory yet in the Premier League, and like I mentioned, they are currently in the relegation zone. But they do still have some quality players. You know, a player I like that they brought in this year was midfielder Shaqiri, someone very dangerous. And they have players that you probably know that could be featuring in this match, Peter Ndombele. Maybe you'll see Peter Crouch, I'm not sure. Another player you might have heard of is Ibrahim Afellay. Again, they do have some talent there, David. As I was looking through their roster, Jeff Cameron is a player our American fans will know. You know, Glenn Johnson, they do have some talent there. But, it's still a cup match. You never know what's going to happen. That's just to give you a little background on Stoke City. And, David, like I had told you off-air before we started the show, I happened to see this article by ESPN FC. It's actually from PA Sport, which I'm assuming is the press association. And in that story, David, they were talking about Matt Smith. And, again, here's the title of it, Fulham's Matt Smith in contention against Stoke in the Capital One Cup. I'll just read a little bit from it. Matt Smith may make his return from injury for Fulham when Stoke visit Craven Cottage in the Capital One Cup. Smith has been out for a month with a knee problem, but the big striker is close to a comeback, and he will be checked on ahead of Tuesday night's Thursday round tie. David, I read this article, and I said, there's no way. You know, again, maybe they know something I don't know, but I can't imagine that Matt Smith would be back for this match. Do you?
I think Matt Smith must really have a TARDIS because he's managed to kind of come back from a few weeks in the future ahead after rehabilitation. Because last week, on Monday, he was trying to run and it was very tentative, apparently.
Right.
If we listened to Kit. And on Tuesday, he was running a bit more. But this is just running. He's just started running again. He's not necessarily doing any twisting around. He's not necessarily doing any ball work or anything that's competitive. So I find this hard to believe. I mean, his recovery has come on very well, I believe. But even if he was getting better, I don't think they would risk him now. I think they would want to get him fully fit before throwing him into something like this. I can't believe it anyway.
Yeah, you know, and again, this is an article on espnfc.co.uk, I'm sorry about that, by PA Sport. And again, you know, who knows what they know. I cannot imagine that Matt Smith would feature in this match, but they're throwing it out there. We'll see what happens tomorrow. All right, David, this is going to be interesting because I don't know what to expect from Kit. I don't know what Kit's going to do in this match. So this is kind of a difficult question for you. Who are going to be the key players tomorrow for Fulham?
No, it's very difficult. I mean, when you mentioned Peter Crouch, I thought he'll be straight in there. They probably, if they've watched us on Saturday and saw how useless we are in the air and how we don't bother to mark at corners and how we don't bother to practice set pieces because it's boring,
yeah,
they'll be playing Peter Crouch and every other tall player they can find, I would imagine. But for Fulham, obviously we know Husband can't play because he's cup tied, because he played for Middlesbrough in the in the first round of the cup. Stearman was a non-playing sub in the same round for Wolves, so I believe that he's still eligible to play. We know Fredericks can't play because he's injured and cup tied. So I think, as far as we know, they're the only ones who aren't available, unless there's other kind of knocks around. And we don't know who is coming back. Maybe Kakanicic is okay again now. We don't know. Parker must be getting pretty close to a run out at some point. But I would imagine that with Husband definitely being out, you would think, to keep everybody happy, we would see Dan Byrne back in the team at centre-back.
Yeah.
And Ream moving to left-back, which means he doesn't have to drop Ream for his indifferent performances. And he gets Dan Byrne back in for a bit of height, especially if they've got Crouch in the team. So again, we're looking at, you know, as I said for the preview, really, for Saturday, and I think I was fairly right. I said it will be the goalkeeper and the two central defenders were the key players for us.
Yes,
because that's where it all came in, and they didn't deal with it. Even the goalkeeper, unfortunately, and I did catch a bit of the post-match show, and whilst he's been an excellent shot stopper, this was my reservations I had about him from the start. He's a little bit airy-fairy sometimes in the air, Andy Lonergan. He's a bit of a flapper sometimes at crosses, or he just doesn't come when he should be coming, when, you know, Mark Schwarzer would have come and taken the ball. Probably on a couple of those, it's possible, a couple of those goals that Sheffield Wednesday got, Schwarzer would have been out and claimed the ball. When they're in your six-yard box that close to you, take the pressure off your defence. But he doesn't come for these, or he does flap a bit. Yes, he makes excellent saves, we know, but we need dominance in that area from the goalkeeper and from our central defenders. So, really, that's... If they got Peter Crouch playing, which is very possible, we need to be dominant in that area. So I think it might be Stearman and Byrne as our central pairing. What happens in midfield, I'm not sure. But I have a feeling that he's not going to make many changes, because he's a manager that needs a win at the moment, Kit, or he needs to keep winning, really, or to try and keep winning. Although Stoke may put out some reserve players, they've still got some strength in depth, of course. We have a bit of strength in depth as well. So I could imagine two or three changes to give people a run out, but I don't think there's going to be wholesale changes. I would imagine he'd want to keep McCormack in there, despite the fact that McCormack was pretty anonymous on Saturday. But then I could imagine that he might want to get Corley in for a go, but then we don't want to upset Moussa too much. But then if Moussa's promised to start on Friday, perhaps he'll be glad to have, you know, to swap on the bench with Corley. Obviously, interesting to see what happens in midfield. I think we might see LVC come back in. Perhaps he'll kind of finish with what we started at. He'll start with what we finished at Sheffield, with maybe Kearney on the left and LVC on the right, and maybe still Tunnicliffe and Ahara in the middle. I think he wants to keep as much of it together as possible. We've got a big match Friday.
Friday, right.
And, you know, to lose that on Friday, you know, the naysayers are going to be out in force again. And, you know, if we get beaten at home by the Ha-Has, there'll be a lot of people baying for his blood, I would imagine. So I don't think he wants to make too many changes. Yes, he might want to protect a few key players, but I think, you know, he wants to probably try and keep a bit of momentum going and keep most of the players. So I think we're going to be seeing the same old faces again, you know, the central defenders, the central midfield, maybe McCormack. And, you know, down the spine of the team, we need these people to be strong and to put in good performances for us. I said we needed to score three at Sheffield. Well, I was wrong. We needed to score four at Sheffield to win the game. I was close.
Yeah.
But I just could see the wheels falling off at Sheffield. I could just see it coming, because I think people have been getting ahead of themselves, the fact that we had three wins on the trot, because in every match, you know, there was certain elements that, you know, I mean, Rotherham was probably the easiest of the wins in a way. Sheffield, we made hard work of it until the second half, till we got our noses in front. But they had a complete, you know, reserve team out, and they were a League One team. But Rotherham, was easier, admittedly, but they are a poor team. But as we know with Blackburn, you know, we made very hard work of it, and Blackburn were very, very unlucky not to finish the match on level terms, at least. And I could just see this happening with Sheffield. They were due a win, and they got the, you know, they joined up front and everything else, and then God knows what they've been doing on the training field, but maybe they were too busy worried about him, and they let a short guy score with headers.
5'7", I think. I think Forestieri is 5'7", David.
Well, it was right, and you know, Jazz Richards didn't cover himself in glory either, getting beaten on that. And just the whole marking. I mean, I heard some of the show and how were you analysing. People weren't goal side and everything. It was just basic rudimentary stuff, and it does beg the question how Kit and the coaching staff are still in their jobs, because these are very simple basics that we have to get right, and we're not getting them right at the moment. So, you know, and this is something we need to get right tomorrow, especially if, say, people like Peter Crouch are playing, because otherwise you'll have people with the talent that Stoke have can just fling balls in at him, and it'll be food and drink for him to knock it down to other people. Or, you know, I don't know if Jonathan Waters will be playing as well. He could be quite dangerous as well. He's quite
absolutely
a big guy. I'm not really sure who they're going to play. This is the trouble. I think they will make more changes than we will probably, but they'll still be a threat.
Okay. So let me ask you again, before we really get into predicting a starting 11 for Kit, which should be interesting because it sounds like you're going to go with a similar lineup because you think that's what Kit's going to do. Is that the right move, David? I'm asking you. I think it would be the right move to put out a very strong side, a side somewhere that you're going to put out against QPR, because like you mentioned, you want to build that momentum and you want to, you know, you still have days to rest. So I don't want that excuse. I want them to put out a strong side against Stoke City. Maybe, you know, again, I think it's something that you can build on if you play well, maybe get a result and have some momentum going into that. So I'm for putting out a strong side, not putting out, you know, making wholesale changes. Am I right to feel that way?
Well, you put out a weak side and then you get beaten, and yeah, you've got the get out of jail free card. You say, well, you know, we put out a reserve team, so that's why we were beaten. You know,
I always disagree with that, though. For me personally, I don't like that at all. That's just me.
No, but it's demeaning, really, to the fans and stuff. You know,
absolutely.
They
totally
pay to want to see. You know, this is a first team match. It's not a reserve match. It's a first team match. And, you know,
put out your best
team. A lot
team
of people want to see us have a cup run, despite the fact that it's less important than everything else. People still want to have a cup run because, at the end of the day, it gives you a bit of confidence. It gives you a bit of a feel good factor. So,
sure.
You know, you might as well, if you're going to put out a reserve team and just roll over and die, you might as well just not play the game at all in the first place. You know, just save the money on the floodlights and save the money on the fans travelling to the game and everything else, because it just, you know, in the old days you would never see this, obviously, you know. In the old days you used to see the same 11 week in, week out. Even when they were injured, they used to wheel them out on the pitch still, you know.
No, I hear you,
David. One substitute, you know. But now it's, you know, all this rotation and stuff. I don't think it would be helpful at the moment, because we've still got a team that are learning to play together anyway, especially a defence that's learning to play together. And I know it's not possible to keep the defence exactly as it was because of Husband being cup-tied, but still, I think they need a bit as much continuity as they can.
I agree, David. I totally agree. And listen, just to move us along a little bit, it sounds like to me, I'm sorry if I'm putting words in your mouth, but a key to this match, or what the Fulham need to do to win this match, it's really about the defence.
Well, they've got to show something different than they did at Sheffield, or we'll be facing exactly the same kind of scenario again, I think. We'll have the ball in the back of the net every 5 minutes. You know, the way the Sheffield match started, it looked like it could have been 5-0 at half-time, the way they were going, because every time, you know, and I think Mike said this, every time they put a cross in, it looked like they were going to score.
Yes, I can second that, because I watched the replay today. Yes, Mike is right.
And if we haven't learned from that or progressed from that, then easily the same thing could happen. I know Stoke don't play exactly the same way, but you are more likely to see someone like Peter Crouch coming out for this kind of game.
Yep.
And if they've identified it as a weakness, Fulham's, you know, threat to aerial balls in the box, or Fulham's lack of ability to deal with it, then, you know, they're going to capitalise on that. So to win the game, if we want to win the game, we're going to have to learn to defend and defend properly and dominate our six-yard area at the very least, let
okay.
alone the whole penalty box. So otherwise, I think it's going to be a sad night for us.
Okay, very good there, David. Well, not very good, because, again, if we play like we did, if we defend like we did against Sheffield Wednesday, then this isn't going to be close. They need to do much better on set pieces, but like you said, commanding that area, they need to defend that area. They, again, if this goes back to make them Craven Cottage or fortress, they need to act like it's a fortress and treat it like a fortress. But they need to do that. They need to command the pitch, and that to me is what they need to do tomorrow night, especially defensively. And then when they get their chances, go right at them. You know, you've got nothing to lose, and you have everything in the game, because if you put out a performance, if for whatever reason you can beat them, that builds momentum. So there is something to gain here. That's why I want Kit to put out a strong side tomorrow. I don't want him to be cautious. I want him to actually put out an aggressive team, a team that he thinks is his best 11. That's what I want him to do. But again, there are issues with players being cup tied, but again, he could still put out a strong team. All right, David, let's now predict his starting 11. You go ahead.
Well, I think my run of 11 out of 11 is going to come to an end here, because I'm sure he's going to pull the rug out under my feet somewhere. But I think he'll stick with Lonergan, Richard Stearman. No, that was Richards and Stearman, not Richard Stearman, yeah? Lonergan, Richards, Stearman.
Right.
I think Byrne will come into central defence, with Ream going to left back to replace Husband, who's cup tied.
Okay.
That's kind of the most politically sort of friendly way of dealing with the situation at the moment, because we know there are questions being raised by all this. That means no one gets dropped and everything else. I think we'll see LVC on right midfield, Tunnicliffe and O'Hara in the middle, Kearney left midfield, the sainted McCormack, who never gets taken off, will be playing again. And I think they'll give Corley a start on this occasion, and with him swapping roles with Musa.
Okay.
I'll probably be completely wrong this time. He'll probably throw a few sort of curveballs in there. You know, you might see someone.
I think
like,
you're going to be right, David. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say you're going to be right. But here's the thing: if I'm Kit, I like Colley Woodrow. Don't get me wrong. I like Colley Woodrow. I would play Musa Dembele. Because you want to get that kid scoring. Keep him scoring. Keep him, you know, in that mode that he feels he can score. I would start Musa Dembele, but I think you're right. I think I have a feeling Kit will do the reverse. I want to see Colley Woodrow play. I just right now I want to see Musa Dembele as one of your starting strikers to go along with McCormack, David.
There's a lot of other fringy ones you could be in. I mean, I've left Pringle out because he was a bit disappointing on Saturday.
Yep.
Kaká, of course, could feature. Kavanagh could feature, of course.
That's a very good one, you're right.
Scott Parker may feature, or he may be on the bench. I'm not sure. But, you know, you're going to see him sooner or later. And I'm sure there's other people I've forgotten as well. But
I'm going to throw out one name, David. This would be a shock to me, because I don't see this happening. I really don't see this happening. Emerson Hyman.
No, I don't either. I mean, I've heard that he just doesn't want to stay at Fulham any longer than he has to. Emerson, he's definitely going to be off, and nothing's going to make him sign a contract. So, if that is the case,
yeah,
then I can understand why they're not rushing to give him a place in the team. If he's, you know, his head's been turned by someone, obviously, and the situation is irretrievable. So in that case, unless we are desperate for players, you know, it's kind of, I can understand the move not of not playing people who don't want to be at the club. So
no, No, listen, I actually understand it too, David. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's regrettable, but...
It is.
Obviously, especially we have this kind of, you know, we have a plethora of central midfielders at the moment in a way with Tynecliffe, we have Parker coming back, we have O'Hara, we have LVC. I mean, Kearney can play central midfield, of course. And so, of course, it'll take a lot of injuries for Hyman to be needed anyway. So I think we probably won't see him. You know, it's a shame. I mean, it'd be nice to see him, but I can understand that he's not going to be up high on the pecking order because obviously he's of his desire not to be at the club. So that's a shame. But yeah, we could see a few curveballs tomorrow coming in from Kit. There might be one or two surprises from that. It's harder to predict tomorrow than it will be for these league matches. The league matches have been pretty consistent in his selection.
Sure. No, very good there, David. You know, and again, I actually understand the Emerson Hyman situation because I agree with everything that you said. Listen, if he doesn't want to play for the club, and again, that's what we're all hearing, that's a speculation, then he shouldn't be playing. It's just, it's a shame. It's a shame. You know, it really is a shame because he's a player that I wanted Fulham for him to be a part of Fulham. But if he doesn't want to be a part of Fulham, how can I blame the club for not playing him in the first team? You want players that want to play for you, and if he doesn't want to play, then they're doing the right thing. It's just the whole situation, honestly, is just a shame. That's all I want to say about Emerson Hyman. Let's move on from that. Let's now go to predictions, David. All right, I'm going to share a couple predictions from the Fulham supporters. We'll start with Tom and Aramin. Kit will put out a weak team, so probably 2-0 to Stoke City, but it's not a big deal. Roger Lewis has 3-0. David, all from set pieces. I like that from Roger. Bren Reed has a 1-1 draw, taking an extra time, and Pans Lonergan saves their final kick for Fulham to go through. Quite a specific prediction. That's what Ben Reed said. And Simon Haneed has 3-1 to Stoke City. David, what's your prediction for tomorrow?
I have a feeling that they're going to turn us over as well. I just don't know how up for it we're really going to be tomorrow. If we're anything like we were at Sheffield, if we start like that, I think they'll manage to finish us off before we get going. I mean, if we have one of our mad moments, you never know. We suddenly have a second wind and start, you know, battling and winning the ball in midfield. Who knows? But I can't see beyond either a draw and sort of extra time and probably losing in extra time or losing in 90 minutes, really, to be honest with you, because Stoke is still, you know, a stronger team than we are, have a much stronger squad. And we just... I'm just not happy with the way things are at the moment and the comments from Kit about, you know, why we don't practice set pieces and marking and stuff just really is the icing on the cake. I'm really surprised, actually, he still has a job because, if you went to your boss and said, well, actually, you know, I can't be bothered to do this, it's too boring, you know, he'd say, right, well, bugger off then. Go and find yourself another job, wouldn't you? So I'm really surprised that someone hasn't come out to Kit and said, well, if it's too boring to keep doing these things, why don't you go somewhere else then, where it's less boring?
That
hasn't been a very helpful comment. I don't know if he was... Well, you can't say he was misquoted because it came from the horse's mouth, wasn't it? We actually heard him say it.
No, I heard it, David. I heard the comment.
So, yeah, I mean, you think, what on earth is going on? He talked in his preview, which I was a bit sarcastic about on
Friday.
Can I just
clarify one thing about his commentary, David? Just so we're on the same page here, he was talking about it being boring for the players. He didn't say it was boring for himself. He just said that it could possibly be boring for the players. So it's not that he finds it boring. He just thought that type of work that the players might find it boring.
That's my heart bleeds for them, you know. I tell you what's boring is being boring is having half your guts cut to bits and being stuck at home ill all summer. Now, that's boring.
Okay, David.
Yeah, that is boring. I can tell you from first experiences. I wish I could go out on the football pitch, even if I had to do the same thing every day. I wish I had that opportunity at the moment. And we heard it from people like Danny Murphy, I think, you know, about Roy Hodgson, that
yep.
Roy Hodgson's methods were boring, perhaps, or repetitive, let's say. But it got
practice
results.
Practice makes perfect, David.
Yeah, if Kit's in a situation where he doesn't want to upset the players because it might be boring, then it sounds like he's lost control of the team, really. If he's pandering to their needs, it's not good enough. Whichever way you look at it, it's not good enough. And
yeah.
He talked about clean sheets in his preview on Friday, wanted to keep clean sheets and grinding out results. And then on Saturday, it was like, you know, the whole thing was destroyed in a few minutes. You know, it's just, for someone who is a central defender who must have known how to mark, his lack of ability to convey it over to his players or via the coaches to his players is just incredible, really. It's just the same thing week in, week out, almost. I mean, it was a theme of last season, and this season hadn't been as bad, but obviously we was back to square one again on Saturday. So I don't know, but I'm bored with it as well. I'm bored of seeing the same kind of goals conceded every week.
Okay. Well, David, again, I'm just going to finish up on this point because, again, we talked about it on the last show. Again, drill them until they get it. Just make sure they get it. You got to keep drilling them. Like you said, Roy Hodgson did it. If it's boring, it's boring. Just make sure that they get it. And hopefully they will get it. They need the work, obviously, and Kit needs to do that and work on what's not working, because that's obviously not working, and he needs to fix it. He's the manager. He needs to fix it. I didn't like the comments. You don't like the comments. Mike didn't like the comments. Giannis didn't like the comments. But, again, he can turn it around by turning the team around. So it's on Kit's shoulders. He's got some big matches coming up. Again, I will say this. I'm behind Kit. I want Kit to succeed. It's on his shoulders. It's on the player's shoulders. Get it done. That's the way I'm looking at it, my friend. Get it done. Get the work done. Put the work in and get it done. All right, David. What was your prediction? You were kind of going around your predictions. So
I didn't give you a score, but I said we'd either be a draw and lose in extra time, or we'd just lose anyway, because I just don't have much faith. But I didn't actually put a score on it.
Okay.
Maybe something along the lines of 2-1 or 3-1 to Stoke.
Okay. David, I'm going to go 2-1 to Stoke. I just think that Stoke have a little bit too much than Fulham right now. And, coming off of that tough match, I want them to win. I hope they win. I think it would be good if they won, build up a little momentum. I don't think it's the end of the world if they don't, but I think they have nothing to lose in this match. If they lose, they lose. You're losing to a premiership team. If you win, you can actually build on it. So there's something to gain here. So hopefully they can actually get a victory here, David. All right, David, let's wrap up this show. Any final words before we go?
I also saw that we had Stuart Atwell as ref tomorrow, and we always lose when he's the ref, so that was the other reason I said that.
Okay. So that's your final word for tonight,
yeah,
my friend?
Yeah, no, he's not been a lucky ref for us, so I was that kind of just put the icing on the cake, really, for me.
Okay.
So, no, that's fine for me, and I look forward to talking to you again next time, of course.
That's right. You and I will be talking previewing the QPR match on Thursday. I look forward to it, my friend. And listen, you get some rest, and we will be talking on Thursday. For David Holly, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David. Have a good night, my friend.
You too, Russ. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks, everybody. Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us.
WrestleMania. It's been